Right, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I didn't really get a chance to look over the material, but we'll just sort of do what we can, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let me open up the text. It's in the R. So we are on, here we're covering the Dalil from the Sunnah for the need for spiritual guide, I believe. A hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we probably finished. I think did we start at the land of Aqliya? Yeah, I think we finished that. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we're on the rational proofs for the need for a spiritual guide. That's at the land of Aqliya. الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك نفسه. That shaitan is for human beings an open enemy, and thus is his nafs. يعرضان للإنسان أعماله مزينة زخرفة. They present to a person his own actions beautified and embellished. فيكون على الضلالة ويحسبه على الهدى. And so he is sometimes on misguidance and astray, but he feels or he deems himself to be upon guidance. قال تعالى إنهم اتخذوا الشياطين أولياء من دون الله. Indeed, they are those who have taken the devils as أولياء rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويحسبون أنهم مهتدون. And they believe themselves, they deem themselves to be guided. So this is actually a very important point, because the people who are sometimes on the wrong path and engage in wrongdoings and have wrong understandings of Islam and otherwise, you know, maybe not even Muslim, but they choose and take part in ways of life other than Islam, there's one of two scenarios. There are certain scenarios where the person knows what they're doing is wrong. They see the haqq of Islam and yet deny it, right? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ, right? They do takzeeb, they falsify it, they deny it. There's open kufr. There's another such category of people who don't necessarily even see the truth of Islam as truth because of their own sins, because of their own arrogance, because of their own evil deeds. They become mahroom from even being able to see the haqiqah of Islam. And whatever they're following, they believe that to be the right way. They believe that to be guidance. There are people, for example, in the deen who have very deviant understandings of Islam. I mean, I don't know if I've mentioned the story about the person who, you know, basically said that, you know, there's no such thing as hijab in the deen, this, that, and the other, and he's sending proof after proof, so quote-unquote proof after proof, and when I looked into the matter further, it turns out that the person is someone who doesn't even believe in hadith. And, you know, the way he rationalizes it is, well, there's this hadith, which doesn't even make sense. And, you know, those of Allah, such people have put X, Y, and Z. It didn't make sense to him. It doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. But those such people, he believed in Rasulullah, right? And he said that, no, his snow white character, and spoke very highly of him. But he said that, oh, you know, how could the Prophet say X, Y, and Z? So based on the matan, he just, you know, rejected that, many a hadith, subhanAllah. And so he's completely convinced that he's on the haq, and all these, you know, mawlis and backward people are, you know, messing up Islam perhaps and whatnot. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They feel that they're guided. They feel that they're justified. And there's people who actually believe that, you know, America's under attack by Muslims. They actually believe that. They actually believe that Islam is an evil religion. It's not that they see that Islam is haq and it's truth. They're just misinformed about it. They've no formed wrong opinion about it. And they believe they're on this crusade and this rightly guided thing, and that's why it's easy for them to spend their money and to make the sacrifices to, you know, save their nation, so to speak. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. وَكَمَا لَا يَجِدُ الشَّجَرُ ثِمَارُهُ ثَقِيلَةً كَذَلِكَ لَا يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ عُيُوبَهُ ذَمِيمًا. In the same way that a tree does not see its fruits as heavy, in the same way a human being doesn't see his faults as dispraisable. I'm sure there's a right word for that, but worthy of dispraise. فَيَهْتَاجُ لِلْإِسْلَالِ وَالْتَرْبِيَةِ إِلَى مُرَبٍ. Sounds familiar. It sounds like we did it, but... And so it's necessary for his correction and for his rectification to go to a spiritual guide or a person who will do his tarbiyah. And in what follows are some aqli dalils. See, it sounds like we did this. I think we did do this. Oh yeah, we talked about professionalizing the deed. Sorry. إنما لم نكن تريد زيارة بيت الله تعالى لكن. Yeah, I think we're at the الدليل رقم خامس at the bottom of page 44 on the online version. I apologize for that. Okay, the fifth proof. يحكي بعض المشايخ أن نملة كانت تريد زيارة بيت الله تعالى. Some of the مشايخ, they narrate that a ant desired to visit the house of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ولكن كانت البحار والجبال والصحارى تصدها. But the oceans and the mountains and the deserts used to prevent it, were in the way. رأت يوما حمامة من سواكن بيت الله تعالى. One day it saw a dove from the residence of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that it normally lived in Mecca by the Haram. فأتصمت بقدمها. So it took hold of its leg or its foot. طارت الحمامة. The bird, the dove flew. ووصلت إلى بيت الله تعالى. And it reached the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فزارت النملة بيت الله تعالى. And so the ant visited the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reached the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in poetry they say, نملة مسكينة تمنت الوصول إلى الكعبة. That a poor ant desired reaching to the Kaaba. أخذت قدم حمامة. It took hold of the foot of a dove. وصلت إلى منزلي. And it reached its destination. So in the same way, when a murid takes hold of the veil, the atraf, takes hold of the coattails of their sheikh, it is as if the sheikh is the hamama, it is the dove, and the murid is the namla, that they fly and then they reach towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الدليل رقم this is the sixth دليل. صاحب كلب أصحاب الكهف وعد بالجنة. That the dog that kept the suhba or kept the company of the sleepers of the cave, wu'ida bil jannah, was promised Jannah. And this is in Tafsir al-Khazin, Tafsir al-Bahawi, and Hashi al-Jalalain. قال الخرطبي رحمه الله الخرطبي said قال ابن عطية رحمه الله ابن عطية said وحدثني أبي رضي الله عنه أبي رضي الله عنه أبي رضي الله عنه narrated قال سمعت أبا الفضل الجوهري في جامع مصر يقول I heard أبو فضل الجوهري in the جامع مسجد of Egypt يقول على منبر he said on the منبر وعظه on the منبر from which he used to give his talks سنة 69 و400 in the year 469 إن من أحب أهل الخير نال من بركتهم Indeed, the one that loves the people of good, that nala min barakatihim, that he will take or reach from their blessings. Kalbun ahabba ahlu fadlin wa sahibahum. There was a dog that loved the people of distinction, right, the good people, wa sahibahum, and he kept their company. Fa zakarahu Allahu ta'ala في محكم تنزيله إن الله سبحانه وتعالى through the barakah right نال من بركتهم that they will also taste from their blessings so this was a dog a lonely dog that kept, just out of its love for the righteous kept the company of the righteous for, and so it elevated the dog to such an extent فذكره الله الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned it في محكم تنزيله in his clear revelation قلت إذا كان بعض الكلاب قد نال هذه الدرجة العليا if some and I say if some dogs had surely reached such a status a lofty status فما ظنك بالمؤمنين الموحدين المخالطين المحبين للأولياء والصالحين and what do you think about those believers who are keepers of Tawheed who keep the company المخالطين المحبين who keep the company and who are lovers of the awliya and the righteous and this is in the Jamil Ahkam al-Quran of Imam Qurtubi a Persian قال الشاعر الفارسي الشيخ سعدي Sheikh Saadi who was a great Persian poet رحمه الله said قلب أصحاب الكهف أياما عديدة that he was the dog of the sleeper, the people of the cave, for days numbered. اتبأ الصالحين صار رجلا. He followed the righteous and became a man. So again, another a very clear and poignant example from the Quran that what a powerful effect that the company of the righteous can have on another individual. Understand that this is not something which is limited to keeping the company of a sheikh. Now, obviously, that's the quintessential paradigm. But anytime a person keeps the company of righteous individuals and righteous people, that is a source of benefit. الدليل رقم السابع. This is the seventh proof. شخص يريد السفر الجوي. A person intends to make air travel. يشتري تذكرة شركة جيدة ويركب الطائرة معتمدا على قائدها. That he buys a ticket, electronic ticket, and ويركب الطائرة and he boards the plane. معتمدا على قائدها. Having full faith on the person who is flying the plane, on the pilot. فَالْقَائِدُ يُوصِلُهُ إِلَى الْمَنْزِلِ And so the qaid, the person, the pilot, he takes him to his destination. هَكَذَا السَّالِكُ يَكِلُ نَفْسَهُ إِلَى الشَّيْخِ لِلسَّفْرِ الْبَاطِنِ It's the same way that the Salik, he relinquishes himself, or he relinquishes his nafs himself to the Shaykh for his internal travel, his spiritual travel. For Shaykh yadhhabu bihi ala tariq al-suluk, so the Shaykh goes with him on the path of spirit, on the spiritual path, wa yasiluhu billahi ta'ala, and he connects him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connecting with him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take different ways. Now there are those miraculous stories where the Shaykh has put such tawajjuh, and that will probably discussion of tawajjuh, I think it's already come. But put such tawajjuh on the salik, then immediately they got wusal and they received the nisbah, and then they became kamil. However, at other times it is through the process of their tarbiyah, the process of their teachings, the process of their guidance. Just this morning, alhamdulillah, I had a short talk, well, it wasn't so short, a talk at the masjid, which is one of the reasons I was there longer than expected and really prepare. But just during the talk, I can't tell you like how many times I would say, oh, well, our Shaykh al-Hadith was this. And, you know, one time I didn't say Hazrat, I would just say, you know, I was sitting with my spiritual teacher or my teacher or Shaykh in the Haram, and he said this. And I said, I mean, I just look back and for so many of the beautiful advices that I had, and it wasn't advices, it was their tarbiyah. That was that murabbi in my life. And now when I just speak to others, it's just basically passing on those lessons. I just look at myself and it was just like play in the hands of a sculptor, and they just sculpted. And if I wasn't so, perhaps I wasn't such poor clay, you know, perhaps it would have been easier to mold me into the beautiful pot that they desired to make. It wasn't so calcitrant, but anyone knows that if the clay is soft, it's easy to mold it, and eventually the pot will harden in a way that is have a beautiful form. But if the clay hardens first and then you try to mold it, then you break it. So it's very much the same way for the salik. If the salik is open and receptive, then it becomes very easy to take them. And you know, the teacher oftentimes will be hesitant to sometimes give many advices because they don't feel that the student is ready to take it, right? Oftentimes a very clear idea of where you need to take them and what you need them to do, but you just know that they're not ready for it yet. And so as a person becomes, you know, softer and softer, and it's easier to need them, then you can give them more and more and take them. You can put more and more on them, and you know that they can take it. All right, so, okay, next category of proofs is adilla min ahwal. So that's the same thing over here, right? I think it's the previous proof. So yeah, yakilu nafsahu ila shaykh la safar, that he should just relinquish himself to the shaykh. And that relinquishing just doesn't mean that, you know, you need to ask them, like, what car should I buy, and what house should I live in, or, you know, who should I marry. But in terms of a person's tarbiyah, you should sort of, you know, just hand yourself over so that you become pliable, and then they can work with you. And then when they see that, and you can't fake it, and sometimes it just comes with time. But as a person becomes deeper and deeper and more involved in tazkiyah, they will see that they're able to give more and more of themselves, and sacrifice it more and more, and take more and more. And when they can take some more and more, you know, the teacher can say something, you know, stark, like, okay, now you're going to an alam course, drop everything and go. And they're able to do it. But it's not something that you can fake. And it's a natural process. You sort of have to let it happen. So when the clay is very hard, what do? You don't immediately try to mold it, right? You have to put water on it and you have to let it soak. And a lot of, you know, suluk is like that. It's just putting water on the salik and letting him soak for years until he's ready or she is ready. Adillatu min ahwal as-salihin. Some proofs from the conditions of the righteous people. الدليل الأول وجد سيدنا الوحشي رضي الله عنه بصحبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دقائق منزلة لو موليت الدنيا بأمثال أويس قرني رحمه الله تعالى لم تبلغ غبار طريقه. So, سيدنا وحشي, وحشي رضي الله عنه, he was the person who at one time had killed the beloved uncle of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم loved Hamza رضي الله عنه so much, so much, so much. And when Wahshi radiallahu anhu killed him, you know, it was, I mean, this was a big deal. But he, through a couple of minutes or a couple of moments of the sohbah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned from Wahshi to Sayyidina Wahshi radiallahu anhu. And he turned to such a level that لو مليئت الدنيا, even if the world was full, was filled, بأمثال أويس القرني, with the likes of أويس قرني رحمه الله. أويس قرني was a very righteous individual who wanted to come and meet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. That even Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had given instruction to Umar رضي الله عنه that if you are able to have him imagine his righteousness, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling Umar رضي الله عنه, if you could have him make dua for you, and have him make dua for you. And that actually happened in later times, if I'm not mistaken. This is what I remember, right? Allahu alam bis sawab. So what happened is that Uwais Qarni, he wanted to come and meet Rasulullah, but because of his family situation, and his mother had needed care, he was told to stay and attend to her. I mean, it's been said that his love for Rasulullah was so intense. I mean, Allah knows how true the story is, that when he found out that one of the teeth of Rasulullah was injured in one of the battles, right, and became shaheed, that he also took a stone and he said, how can I be different from my Habib, and broke a portion of his own tooth. So it shows the type of ashiq that Uthman al-Qarni was. And then, but if you have a world full of such people, a few moments of sahaba raise Wahshi to that level of a sahabi, such that, you know, all the tabi'in would have been equal to the sahaba. قال ابن حجر المكي رحمه الله الرجيم. حجر المكي رحمه الله تعالى says, نقل القاضي عياض أن رجلا قال للمعافن بن عمران. He says that قاضي عياض, he narrates, relates that a man said to معافن بن عمران, أين عمر بن عبد العزيز من معاوية؟ What is the status of Umar bin Abd al-Aziz, who's known, who's been called as the fifth righteous, rightly guided Khalifa? In his time there was such aman, in this time there was such righteousness, in this time he led such a state. It was said that at that time there was no need for police, because people, before they did anything, they would have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, and then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi, and you may know that this was, he lived during the time of fitna, that this was the fitna that occurred between Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and Ali radiallahu anhu, very long and detailed and complicated story, but where there is even war amongst the Sahaba, you know, the Battle of Jamal and so on and so forth, and each side thought that they were on the truth. But very charged issue. So he says, what is the status of Umar bin Abdul Aziz? I mean, where is Umar bin Abdul Aziz from Muawiyah? Meaning, like where does he stand with regard in comparison to Muawiyah? فَغَضِبَ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا. So he became extremely angry. وَقَالَ لَا يُقَاسُ لِأَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحَدٌ, that there is no one who can compare, who can measure, or who can compare with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muawiya sahibuhu wa sihruhu wa katibuhu wa aminuhu ala wahi Allah wa yufafiqu dhalika anna Abdullah ibn Mubarak al mujma ala jalalatihi wa amanatihi wa taqaddumihi su'ila. So Muawiya radiyallahu anhu was his companion and his in-law, and his scribe, and his confidant on the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what corroborates this is that Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah al-mushma ala jalalatihi wa amanatihi wa taqaddumihi su'ila ya Abd al-Rahman ayyuhuma afdal Muawiyah aw Amr ibn Abdul Aziz. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak, given his jalal, his grandeur and his amana, his trust and his status, he was asked, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, O father of Abdurrahman, which one is better, Muawiyah or Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ الْغُبَارَ الَّذِي دَخَلَ فِي أَنْفِ فَرَسِ مُعَاوِيَةَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ عُمْرَ بِأَلْفِ مَرَّةٍ صَلَّى مُعَاوِيَةَ خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Stop up to there. He said, Wallahi, by Allah, I swear by Allah, that even the dust that entered into the nose of the horse that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was riding with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is better than Umar bin Abdul Aziz 1,000 times. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. When he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the one who has praised him, فَقَالَ مُعَاوِيَةَ رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you is praise. فَمَا بَعْدَ هَذَا الشَّرْفِ الْأَعْظَمِ, so what is greater than this sharf? If Muawiyah said, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard him who has praised him. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, listened to him. Allahu Akbar, like what greater honor can you have in that? And this is in Ibn Hajar Makki rahimahullah, he narrates this. فَتَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ لَا, what is it? بَدِيل عَنِ السَّحَابَة. So he made clear that there is no, بَدِيل is rival, you could say rival here, for any of the Sahaba. بَدِيل عَنِ السُّحْبَة, there is no substitute for company, good company. قَالَ عَارِف, a person, a Gnostic said, صُحْبَةُ الصَّالِحِينَ زَمَانًا, the company of the righteous for a portion of time, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عِبَادَةٍ خَالِصَةٍ مِئَةَ سَنَةٍ, it is better than the خَالِص ibadah without riya for 100 years. Someone had heard this poem, one of our kabir, they thought it was exaggeration, so they went to their teacher, I believe it was Mona Shafiq Sanwi, Mona Anwar Shah Kashmiri, and then they said that this seems like mubalagha to me. He said, shall I read it to you? And he said, Ji Hazrat. Then he said, okay. And when he read it, he changed this miyata sana to like 1,000 years or something, from 100 years to 1,000 years. He said, because the reason he was astounded, because the poet said min ibadatin khalisa, he didn't say ibadah, he said ibadatin khalis, that khalis, that this ibadah was without riya. So how can suhbah for just a few moments be better than 100 years or even 100,000 years now without any riya? So he explained to him that even if a person does ibadah for 100,000 years, at the end of the day, you don't know if that ibadah is accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, with suhba, he quoted the hadith that hum qawmun la yashqa jalisuhum, they are a people that whoever keeps their suhba, who sits with them, la yashqa, that they shall never be doomed and they shall never lose out, they shall not have a bad end. So in the end, it would like the ultimate shaqawa is dying on kufr. So if you're saying la ishqa jaleesuhum, that's sort of like a guarantee that they will not have a bad, a doomful end. And so even with all that ibadah, a person doesn't know that the person will do the amal of the people of righteousness until they're handspanned from Jannah, and they'll do one of the amal of the people of Nar, and then they'll enter into the fire. And a person will do the actions from the people of the fire their entire life, and then until they will be handspanned from them Jahannam, and then they will do one good deed, and they'll become from the people of Jannah, right? So it just destiny overtakes a person. Second دليل. أخذ الحسن البصري العلم الظاهري 18 صحابيا. So Hasan al-Basri, rahimullah, he took the exoteric knowledge or outwardly knowledge, yani fiqh and hadith and so on and so forth, and 18 from 18 sahaba. ذلك, along with that, أخذ العلم الباطني, he took spiritual knowledge from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. This actually highlights a very good, it's actually very amazing how you brought this point up, because it actually highlights a very important point that sometimes even people who are advanced in, I mean, I've sat with people who've really kept sohbah of mashayikh in other salasin, and one of the things they really don't get is this concept of ittihad al-markaz, which is very clear, at least in our suluk, of having one, one focus, one teacher. And so, and people, if you see this, they say that, oh, I can benefit from many teachers. Well, yes, in ilm-e zahiri, that's true. Because, and then they make an analogy of ilm-e zahiri to ilm-e batini. So they say that, oh, a person studied from so many shuyukh, so I'll also sit with so many shuyukh and also benefit spiritually. Yes, there is benefits spiritually from sitting with the shuyukh, but there is greater benefit in sitting with one shaykh longitudinally over time. So Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, look, he had 18 teachers when it came to ilm al-zahiri, but only one teacher when it came to ilm al-batini. No, what are you saying? Ilm al-batini is not so dichotomous, right? Obviously, when he sat with those teachers who taught him the outwardly knowledge, of course, he benefited spiritually from them. It's not that he didn't. It's more fluid than that. But, in a mustaqil sense, in a concentrated sense, this ilm al-batini, this is... it was one teacher. Waqtas ba anwar al-wilaya. And he gained the lights of sainthood. الدليل الثالث, the third proof. كان سفيان الثوري يقول لولا أبو حاشم الصوفي ما عرفت دقيق الرياء. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, who's not unknown to anyone who is listening, inshallah, he used to say that لولا أبو حاشم الصوفي, if it wasn't for Abu Hashim the Sufi, ma araftu daqiq al-riya, I would not have known the subtleties of riya. الدليل الرابع, fourth proof, استفاض الإمام العظم أبو حنيفة والإمام مالك رحمهم الله تعالى من شيخ جعفر الصادق رحمهم الله تعالى. Imam Azam, the grand Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Malik, rahimahumullah, may Allah SWT have mercy on both of them, is the father, they took faith, or they benefited. From Sheikh Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the family of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the... He was Sayyid. فقال الإمام أبو حنيفة رحمه الله بعد رابطته سنة الثانية كيف شاك الأفضل وسي أبو بكر son that he wouldn't be سيد. I'll have to check. فقال الإمام أبو حنيفة رحمه الله بعد رابطته سنتين. إمام أبو حنيفة رحمه الله, he said after keeping contact for 2 years, لولا سنتان لحلف نومان. نومان بن ثابت was Imam Abu Hanifa's real name. So he said, if it was not for 2 years, then Nu'man would have been destroyed. But it was that tarbiyah that he gained in those 2 years that protected him and provided him the spiritual foundation for the rest of his life. And Dalil al-Khamis, the fifth proof, ذهب إبراهيم الأدهم يوما للقاء الإمام العظيم. Imam Ibrahim Adham was a very righteous person, a great, you know, one of the Akabir. He went one day to meet Imam Azam. فقال الإمام, and the Imam said, جاء سيدنا إبراهيم. Our Sayyid Ibrahim has come. فسألت الطلاب وكيف ذلك. And so the student answered, how is that? فقالوا نحن مشتغلون في خدمة الأبدان. Then he said that we are busy, preoccupied in the service of the body. وهو مشتغل في خدمة رب الأبدان. While he is busy in the خدمة of the Lord of the bodies. ويقال لمثل هذا الرجل, and it is said to the like of such a person, رباني, godly. He is a godly person. Like a person of God. Not godly, not like godlike. I'm saying godly in English, in the linguistic sense, in the poetic sense, that, you know, he's a godly person, meaning mindful of God. So each one of these examples is showing how all our great akabir, Imam Azam, Imam Malik, Sufyan Thawri, rahimahumullah, each one of them kept the company of a righteous individual and benefited from them spiritually. So they had, in effect, a spiritual guide. Ad-Dalil al-Sadis, the sixth proof. How many proofs are there? SubhanAllah. Quite a few. Okay, let's see if we can start going through this. Because they're all, it's just good to know these stories. But maybe we'll just limit the commentary. استفاض الإمام الشافعي من الإمام محمد بن حسن الشيباني وقال قولا مشهورا. Imam Shafi took faith from Imam, or took benefit from Imam Muhammad bin Hassan al-Shaybani. Muhammad bin Hassan al-Shaybani is one of the famous students of Imam Abu Hanifa. وقال قولا مشهورا. And he said a very famous saying. So Imam Abu Hanifa had two prominent students. One is Imam Qadi, Imam Abu Yusuf, and the other one is Imam Muhammad. And this is sort of the terminology we use for Imam Abu Hanifa, we say Imam Azam. When Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Muhammad are on the same side on an opinion on a juristic issue, we call it Shaykhain. When we call Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Abu Yusuf agree on a juristic issue, we refer to them as Tarfain. And when Imam Muhammad and Imam Abu Yusuf, they agree on a juristic juristic issue, then we refer to them as Sahibain. And it should be known that Imam Abu Hanifa used to have, you know, a majlis with experts from different fields who used to convene, and on the basis of that, they would have, you know, be analogous to this day and age's tumor boards. We have in colleges, the hematopathologists, the radiologists, they would get together, they all deliberate on what the optimum plan of attack is for, you know, treating a particular cancer. And so the same thing, they would tackle juristic issues in this multidisciplinary, that's the word I was looking for. That's the right word, this multidisciplinary approach. So Ibn Muhammad bin Hassan al-Shaybani, he's also one of the four grand teachers of Imam Bukhari. So one of his students also, right? I mean, so Imam Shafi also took benefit. So Imam Shafi says, this is my page. صحبت الصوفية فما انتفعت منهم إلا بكلمتين. That I kept the company of the Sufis, so, and I did not benefit from them except with two words. سمعتهم يقولون, I used to hear to them saying, الوقت سيف, فإن قطعته وإلا قطعت إلا قطعك. That time is a sword. Either you will cut it, otherwise it will cut you. ونفسك إن لم تشغلها بالحق. And your nafs, this is the second advice. And your nafs, if you do not keep it busy with the truth, وَإِلَّا شَغَلَتْكَ بِالْبَاطِلِ, otherwise it will keep you busy in falsehood or vanity. يقول الحافظ ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى بعد ذكر هذا القول. حافظ ابن القيم رحمه الله, he says after mentioning this saying, قلت, I say, يا لهما من كلمتان, oh for them, for those, from these two words, ما أنفعهما وما أجمعهما, how beneficial they are, and how جامع and complete and comprehensive they are, وأدلهما على علوم قائلهما ويقظته, and how clear of a proof they are on the knowledges and the breadth of knowledge of the people who said them and their spiritual wakefulness. ويكفي في هذا ثناء الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى على طائفة هذا قدر كلمتهم. And this type of and this praise from Imam Shafi'i رحمه الله تعالى is enough على طائفة هذا طائفتين أو طائفتي What is the best way to translate this? And this praise from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala is enough regarding this group of people on the status of their words. And this is narrated by Daraj al-Salikin. Okay, eighth proof. Can Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, I'll see if I can try to find a better translation for that. Ad-Dalil al-Thamin, eighth proof. Okay, we'll finish with this one. كان الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى يذهب إلى شيخ في وقته بشر حافي الحافي. That Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to go to a sheikh in his time by the name of Bishr al-Hafi. Bishr al-Hafi means what's that called? Barefooted. فَسَأَلَهُ الطُّلَّابُ يَوْمًا, so the students ask him, أَنْتَ مِنْ كِبَارِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, you are from the greatest of scholars. لِمَاذَا تَذْهَبُ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ لَيْسَ بِعَالِمٍ, why do you go to someone who is not an alim? فأجاب الإمام أحمد جوابا مذكورا في التاريخ. So Imam Ahmad, he answered with an answer that is mentioned in history, documented in history. وقال, lost the page, sorry. أنا عالم بكتاب الله. He said that I am, Alhamdulillah, he said, I am an alim with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Bishr is an alim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلْعَالِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَضْلٌ عَلَى الْعَالِمِ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, and for an alim, for one who knows Allah, is superiority over one who knows the book of Allah ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And this just reminds me of one story that recently I got an email from one brother who had initially taken, who was considered taking, you know, Bayt with Hazrat Jeet. I'm talking about 10 or 13 years ago. And subhanAllah, he missed that opportunity. It's like, I don't know, maybe more than that, maybe 8 years ago. No, it was 10 years ago. It's actually 10 years ago, I think, from the email. So he was asking and talking to me about it right now, and he said that he went and he consulted, you know, a scholar at that time, The scholar advised him. He said, "Yes, you can, you can learn and benefit from him." But he said, "Just be careful when you take a sheikh because, he should be a scholar, and so and so is not a scholar." At that time, Hazaji was still referred to as, Hafiz Sab. I mean, Hafiz. He was like known as Hafiz. Now it's Hazrat, so on and so forth. And he has some, ijazat from certain madaris, honorary, what they call professor emeritus or something. So the term for, I don't know, just look it up. No, it's not Professor Honorinus. It's there's a word for it. But anyway, but even if that were not the case, right, and say he hadn't studied any of the kitabs, right, this would apply. That, like you look at him and the ulama of Deoband are there, the greatest scholars in the world are there, sitting at his feet in his majalis in Zambia. Like, why? Because again, there's a difference between being alim billah and alim bi kitabillah and being an alim with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why even the people who are scholars sometimes can benefit tremendously from someone made of the alim. Obviously, I mean, what the alim said in one way is also right, because just given the current state of affairs, this was before Hazaji became very popular and known and, accepted and so on and so forth. That, they say that you should be an alim because an alim will at least guide you with an according to the Sharia and so on and so forth. So yes, by and large that's true, but we do have examples from our history where some of the, very, very great scholars, mashayikh, weren't alim at all. It was through their Allah SWT that had given them irfan, he had given them, certain types of ilmi ladunni, not ilmi kasabi, just like this, sort of divinely given knowledge from his own side that, you will not find in books. So anyway, we'll hold it up to here, and then we'll pick up on Dalil al-Tafsir next week. So I guess people can unmute themselves. I had muted them initially. I think you have to press star 5 if you want to unmute. So if anyone has any questions, they can ask it. If not, then we'll conclude for this week, inshallah. All right, mashallah. Barakallah feek. Imad, I just wanted to make sure that you're getting the recordings fine. I mean, Omar had already checked. It seems like it's recording fine onto the system. So if you need any, help accessing it, just let us know. I just want to make sure that everything's going, smoothly on that end as well, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.